Welcome to the Church of the Redeemer Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion, and we hope that you will follow us on www.cotr.com.
Grab your Bibles on this morning. Come with me to the book of Genesis. I was praying with the Spirit and felt led to go back to a place we hit by the Spirit a couple weeks ago while out preaching during revival at Genesis chapter 12. I want to also, even as we do so, good gracious, my wife look good. I want to, by the Spirit, I want to also thank the trustees, thank the AV ministry, thank Brother Andre Hauser and Hauser Audio because of their collaborative work over a period of time. We're at the place where we are with sound on today. Can you hear the difference in the house? Come on, can we give God praise for that? Amen. Come on, you can really do better than that. One of the most important ministries, in fact, in any church is just the AV ministry. Because no matter what happens up here, if you can't hear it, and so we are just grateful to God. They're working. We know we started a little bit late this morning, but it was just because we want to make sure that we get this thing right. Amen. And so I just wanted to say thank you again to the trustees, to the AV ministry, with particular emphasis, not singling out, but particular emphasis on Brother Kenny and Sister Christine, who have been phenomenal. Amen. In their leadership. Thank you for allowing me to do that, because it sounds good. Genesis chapter 12, beginning of verse 1, this is what the Bible says. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation." Say great, everybody. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll deal with, I'll curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went. Say he went. Tell your neighbor, sometimes you got to go. You got to. God sends you. God tells you, you got to go. You just got to go. Don't be mad. This is what he said. As the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was how old? 75 years old. Remarkable. When he set out from Haran, he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. I want to preach a message by the Spirit on this morning about the danger of settling. I want to, just so you can have it in your understanding, I'm going to read from Genesis 13 as well. I'm going to read verses 5 through 13. The principal pericope, the area of focus, will be what you and I just read together from Genesis 12, but I want this in your understanding. Amen? Listen to this by the Spirit. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together, and quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. It's not the whole land before you. Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right," says Abraham. "If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zeor was well watered, like the garden of the Lord. That's the Garden of Eden. Like the land of Egypt. That's the place of bondage. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself, and you know at this time the Garden of Eden has been outlawed because of the fall of man. So he's dreaming about a place he can't even get back to. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. I want to preach a message by the Spirit entitled "Don't Settle," or the danger of settling. Let's pray. Speak, Father. Your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. We'll be careful to give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Could you, by the Spirit, wake yourself, sit up, and give God some attention? I want to share something. I felt it on me kind of heavy. I want to release it to you by the Spirit once you receive it. Amen? If you plan to receive, come on, give God some praise in here on today. I think Shalom and Hannah, one of the greatest potential impacts on your son's life will be his environment. I think environment matters more than we realize. I'm at a place in my walk where if you have a nasty attitude, I don't even want you on my row at church. When I was a child, I acted like a child and thought like a child. So when I was in middle school and somebody in the hallway screamed, "Fight," I was young and stupid, and I ran towards foolishness.
Oh, God.
Some of y'all no longer young, but y'all still acting just as stupid. You still running towards foolishness. Running towards foolishness online, on Facebook, on Instagram. Look, girl, look what they posted. Running towards foolishness in the church. Where you come in here after you done run towards foolishness to talk about, "I'm chasing after you." I've grown to the place in my life, Trustee Barbara, being a young black man trying to be a good husband, trying to be faithful to my wife, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, trying to be a good father. Life is stressful enough that I don't need no extra foolishness. I ain't got to turn 50, 40. I ain't got to take that long. Now! Now! If you got foolishness and you always want to be, nope, I ain't got no time for you. You always want to be pulling me down, talking about this and talking about that. Nothing edifying, nothing full of salt. Nothing encouraging, nothing that's going to help me live right, nothing that's going to help me be a better husband, nothing that's going to, if all you want to do is tear me down or tear somebody else down in front of me, I ain't got time for you because and the reason for that, Trustee Barbara, is I've learned to value my environment. I want good things to be in my ears. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to go ahead and preach honest in here. It's not that I don't like hip-hop. I like hip-hop. I like my beat down low and my seat. I like loud music. I grew up in the 90s. But you know why I can't listen to it anymore? It's because I want good things around me. I don't want language that's going to tear people down. I don't want to hear profanity. I don't want to hear people degrading women. I don't want to hear violence. Or it's violent enough. I don't need to put violence in my radio. I want good things. I care about, and on my phone, I'm already introverted. My wife knows this. So if you're going to get close to me, you can't bring foolishness because it takes a lot for me to even want to talk to you. Outside, I can come in, I can preach to the world, but I can get good all by myself. I'm fine by myself. But, and so if you're going to be around me, you think you're going to bring in my atmosphere? Nope. I think who's around you can determine your destiny. I think people with debased thinking can bring you down. I've watched as a pastor, I've watched people full of potential get hooked up with the wrong Negro. And I've watched them allow those who they're connected to. I watched it and wept. I watched them just bring them right. I've watched women throw away. I've watched brothers just throw it. Abraham has a father by the name of Terah. Terah's name means delay. Sometimes God has to separate you from the people who are holding you back. Preach in here. His father's name is Terah. But God calls him to leave his father's home and to move towards the promised land. Abram at the time is 75 years old. His father's name is Terah, which means delay. It's his father. It's the one who raised him. It's his father. It's the one who has provided for him. It's his father. It's his. What do you do though when the people who are holding me back are those who are closest to me? What do you do when my mother is interfering in my marriage? What do you do when my best friend is the one who's pulling me in the wrong direction? What do you do when it's my brother or my sibling who's the one who's trying? What do you do when it's your father? I could see if it was just somebody on my job, but my dad. Terah's problem is he was heading, according to Genesis 11, to Canaan. He was on his way, Minister Lingham, to the promised land. But the man whose name means delay got delayed. And so he settled. There's something dangerous about surrounding yourself with settlers. You can be raised in a household. I'm going to take my time with this. in which you are taught to honor marriage. But mess around and go to high school with a bunch of people who are settling for their first boyfriend. And if you're not careful, because you're surrounding yourself with settlers, you'll settle too. You can be believing that God wants you to be a business owner, go to school, get your degree, own your own home one day, but mess around and all your friends are content with living in an apartment. I'm sorry, that was generous. Living at their mama house. Let them be content with settling. And you surround yourself with settlers. And you oftentimes end up settling too. It's our environment. It's our environment. It's our environment. It's environment. It's environment. Environment, important determining factor. And so takes a lot. Heads out into the promised land. Bible says that God had called Abram to a place called Canaan. And when they arrived there, there was a famine in the land. I came by to tell you what God has promised for you, he does not always promise for others. So the Bible says Lot in Genesis 13, what we read today, and Abram are there, and the land is too much for them. Now, Abram, because his father settled, because he has settling in his DNA, has already struggled, because when he got to the promised land, it didn't look like the promised land. So he went back to Egypt, a place that looked like what God brought him from. Then when he finally leaves that place and gets back to the promised land, now he has his cousin and his cousin's family with him. So here's Lot. And here's Abram. And they have to decide how they're going to split up, because they've got into a place where God's provision is only enough for one of them. I would much rather you let them go now than bring them to a place where there's no choice. I'd much rather give you a chance to separate from them on amicable terms and to make your peace than for you to have to be forced into separation with someone you love. I would much rather, but some of us are hard-headed, so. Lot is there. Abram's there. Abram, using godly wisdom, says, okay, I don't want no strife. I don't want no beef. You're my cousin. I love you. Maybe he's thinking, it's my fault you're here, so least I can do is give you the choice. Take a look at all the land. You decide where you're going to go. I'm going to go the opposite. Lot, the settler, looks out. Bible says he sees an area that reminds him of the garden of the Lord, the Garden of Eden. That's problematic, because when Adam and Eve got kicked out, the Bible says God put an angel with swords of fire in front of the entrance so man could never get back in. So Lot, my question is, why are you still daydreaming about something you can't have anymore? Then the next place he thinks about is Egypt. Last time you were in Egypt, your whole family got messed up. But Egypt, once again, is a city on a river. Reminds them, of course, of Haran. So here's what Lot does. Lot chooses a place that looks comfortable, looks succulent, but is right next door to sin. Now, on the other side, is Canaan, and because there had been a famine, we know it was probably barren. Looked rough, looked uncomfortable. But that was where God wanted them to be. But Lot says, it looks comfortable. It's green. Send me over there. And he positions himself next to Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know it wreaks havoc on his whole family? Children get caught up in that mess because he settled. Wife gets turned into a pillar of salt because he'd rather be comfortable in sin than to struggle and depend on God. And every step of your faith journey is going to have a component of faith. You always going to have to believe God for something. That's how you know it's him. If you can't do it all by yourself, it sounds like God to me. You need him to show up. You need him to make a way. You need him to pull you out. Good sign. Keep going in that direction. You got it all figured out? Can do it by yourself? Don't need nobody? Don't go over there. Because God draws us into dependency. Lot settles. Bible says Abraham finally, after separating himself from Lot, is there, and God comes in and he issues the promise. He says, I'm going to give your descendants all of this land. He cannot qualify himself for the promise until he's clear of all the settlers and all the people who would cause him to do less. And so Lot is gone. Abram's there. And God begins to show him, what I have for you is far greater than what you could have imagined. What I'm trying to do in your life is something that eyes have not seen, is something that ears have not heard. But to do it, you got to get your mind off of what has been and where you've been and what you know and what you've done. You've got to believe me for more. You've got to separate yourself from all the stuff that would tear you down and pull you down and all the people who would drag you back. I'm trying to do something for you that has not been done yet. And if you follow me, I'll take you to a place of destiny that's unlike anything you've ever seen. And I'll use you to do great things. But if you settle for less than me, if you settle for less than what I have for you, then you'll never get to the place of promise that I have for you in your life. And I'm really getting out of here. I'm closing on today. I'm on my way to my seat. But I just came by to tell Redeemer that God told me to tell somebody in this house, and God told me to speak a word to this church and to let you know that if you think God has done great things these last 50 years, baby, you need to hold on to your seat, because you ain't seen nothing yet. And the only thing that can keep you from arriving at the place of destiny that God has for you in your life is if you decide, I'm just going to settle for what I already know and what I've already seen. Don't you know that the mere fact that you've been there already disqualifies it from being that which eye has not seen, and that which ear has not heard, and that which has not yet entered into the hearts of man? I came out to tell somebody in here on today, I got good news from glory. Touch your neighbor real quick and say, God's got some good news. God's got some good news. Come on, help me get out of here on this anniversary. Come on and say, neighbor,
Say, neighbor, you don't know like I know what God has in store for you and what God has in store for me. We might have to struggle sometimes, might have to let some people go, might have to let some things go, might have to stay in some uncomfortable places. Every now and then, but that's all right, because I heard my Bible say, Deacon Rose, that they that wait, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up, they shall mount up, oh, they shall mount up on wings like eagles, they shall run. Good God up in here. And so now here's Abram. I can see him lonely because Lot is gone. I can see him lonely because there's nobody around him. But thanks be to God that just like Elijah on the mountaintop, thanks be to God that just like Jonah in the belly of the whale, thanks be to God that just like Jesus in Gethsemane, sometimes God won't talk to us until he gets us all by ourselves. And I like what he tells Abram. He says, Abram, he says, Abram, here's your problem. You're too busy looking around for somebody to be next to you. He says, let me grab you by the head and show you where you need to be looking. He says, look up, look up, look up. Look up a little higher. See all the stars in the sky. That's how I'm going to bless you. I came on to tell somebody in here, part of your problem with God is you keep looking for blessings all around you. But I learned that the blessings come down. Look up a little higher. Look up a little higher. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be lifted up. The everlasting doors and the King of glory shall. I said he shall. I said he shall come in, and he'll lift you up, and he will bless you, and I'll make you into a great nation. Here's the thing that I like about it. Part of the reason that we keep folks around us is that we think we need them in order to become who God has called us to be. I'm not saying God can't use your friends. I'm not saying God can't use your family. But here's what he told Abram. He said, Abram, I will make you into a great nation. He says, I will bless you. He says, I'll deal with those who try to curse you. I came by and I'm out of here just to let somebody know, when God gets you by yourself, it's to let you know that he's all you need. And if God be for you, it's more than a world against you. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, my God will fight my battles. I've learned in my life that he supplies all my needs. I've learned in my life that he'll keep me safe from all harm. I've learned in my life that when I can't, God can. And he will. Won't he do it? Won't he make a way, Redeemer? Won't he bring you out, Redeemer? Won't he keep you in the middle of the storm? If you say he made a way, say he opened doors, won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he do it? Won't he do it? If he did it before, for the past 50 years, watch him now. If he doesn't deliver, if he doesn't show up, if he doesn't make a way, with or without a pastor, he'll make a way.
But sometimes the biggest battle that God has is changing your environment. I want to go ahead and use this as an opportunity to get myself in trouble. And I want to tell you, man, in a season like this, you don't need advice from everybody. In your personal life, if you're trying to go to the next level, why are you constantly talking to people who have only been where you've been? If all they can do is talk to you about what happened last time. How could they possibly help you? I need somebody with prophetic vision. I need somebody with the Holy Ghost in my life. I need somebody who cannot just talk to me about what has been. I need to know about things that are to come. I need to know how to move forward with God. Don't surround yourself with settlers. God pulls him from out of his father's household, sends him to a new place, and settles him in him instead of in the culture and the people around him. And so as we stand to our feet on this morning, I just want you to know by the Spirit, I believe many of you have been called to be trailblazers. I believe this is a trailblazing church. Don't settle. I'm not talking derogatively here, but hear me by the Spirit. Hear my heart. Don't put words in my mouth. Don't settle for being like everybody else in your area. Don't settle for living at the level of all the other people you know. Believe God for greater. Be a trailblazer. You go ahead and get married and flash your ring on Sunday. You go ahead and live by yourself, and it'll be good for you to struggle. It'll be good. Learn how to save. Learn how to prioritize your child. Living with your mama so you ain't gotta stop getting your nails done every week. Learn how to depend. Go forward, trust God for greater. Because what God has for you, Redeemer, what God has for me and what God has for us is something I has not seen. And when you get the settlers from around you, you'll stop looking around and you'll start to look up and you'll see the greatness of your destiny. Can you just lift your hands all over the place on today? Come on, just close your eyes and just look up to the Lord and just receive it. Just believe that you have a great destiny. Just believe that eyes have not seen. Just believe that there's greatness for your life. Don't you settle for less. Don't settle for no long-term relationship when you could be in a covenant. Don't you settle. Don't settle for living in a place where everybody else you know lives, when your child could have access to the best schools. Don't you settle. Don't you settle for a job that won't challenge you, when with your intellect you can have 2, 3, 4, 5 degrees. Don't you settle. Don't settle, Redeemer. Don't settle for any less than what God has for you. God, as we close out this sermon on today, God, we just thank you that you're always calling us to go higher, always challenging us to believe you for more. We decree in the place on today that eye has not seen, ear has not heard the great things that you have for those of us who love you and are called according to your word. So God, Thank you for shaking us up if we were being tempted to settle for less than our destinies. God, we invite you to challenge and change our atmosphere if you need to make it more like what you would have it to be and less like what we may always want to see. We believe you for greater. Bring it to us. We receive it even now. And we close by confessing just one more time that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, great things that you have in store for us called Redeemer, because we love you. We're standing on the promises and believing to go into the promised land. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our hearts and our souls say amen, amen, and amen. Pray that you're blessed by the word of God on today. Come on, let's open up the doors of the church. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't stay in a relationship with somebody who's not treating you like a queen. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't be with a woman who was not treating you like a king. Don't settle. Don't stay on a job where your gifts are not valued. Don't settle. Don't settle. Doors of the church are open. Put your hands together in this place on today. Come on, are you here on today? Is there one? Some man, some woman, some boy, some girl. Do you need to give your life to the Lord? Come on, don't settle. Step out into those aisles and come on, let's move towards your destiny. Are you here on today? Come on, is there one? Do you need to give your life to the Lord? Do you need to rededicate your life to the Lord?